B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, and back on NBC Sports Philadelphia after a couple days in Clearwater, Florida. Hello, everybody in TV land. Thanks for tuning in. We're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And boy, a lot of stuff going on today. I'll tell you what, the Eagles now, you know, after this week of Phillydom, where they're, you know, all this excitement and follow. Here come the Eagles now. Bang, bang. Couple of moves today. Got Malik Jackson, a very good move for the Eagles to pair next to Fletcher Cox. And then here comes the Jason Peters dilemma. And the dilemma is solved by signing for a one-year deal. And I like it. I know there's a lot of people out there. I can't play anymore. You move on to... Who are you going to move on to? Are you going to seriously tell me you're going to move on to Vitae as a full-time starter? Or Jordan Mailata? Are you serious? You had to bring the guy back. Cap-friendly. They reduced their cap liability. They got down. And I think their strategy has been really good so far. Yeah, the Sixers. Must-needed victory yesterday over the Indiana Pacers, where they looked like they were getting destroyed in the first half. And Embiid looked really sluggish and unprepared and not ready to play. Also, it turns around in the third quarter. Good team defense, get back in the game, and wear out an inferior Pacers team. Must win. They get the third seed. They've got to stay there. I think they will stay there. Nobody's going to criticize Brett Brown today, right? Are there going to be any criticisms of Brett? I don't know. There might be. Who knows? The Phillies in the debut of Bryce Harper, I was there. I stayed an extra day to see a Toronto Blue Jay team in the guy's first at-bat go four outfielders and pitch to him like it was the seventh game of the World Series. Seriously, Shoemaker? Everybody was there. Gets the standing ovation, right? He gets him in a 3-1 count. Shoemaker throws a fastball that was a foot high and outside to walk him. I'm going, seriously? This is the guy's first at-bat in a really long time, and that's what you're going to do? Silliness in spring training, and they're doing the same thing today, apparently, so I don't know. As you know, I did take some ground balls from Larry Ball, and it was posted. And not my best work was not posted, by the way. We'll get that a little later. I understand there's video of it. We'll get to it a little later. Larry Boa was determined to wear my butt out, and he did. And right now I have no love for Larry because I'm kind of sore and stiff. And I hadn't thrown in a really long time, and now I can't even raise my arm and all that kind of stuff. But it was a fun couple of days down in Clearwater, and I hope everybody enjoyed the interviews that we did with Bryce Harper and especially Gabe Kapler, who I thought came off as a human. Like, instead of people have this perception of an odd guy. I thought he was really down there. It was a different Gabe Kapler than we had heard, I thought. And so everything is good right now. I don't know where to go on this except for one thing. One thing's bugging me, Tyrone, and you know what it is. Jimmy Butler has finally worn me out. He's finally worn me out. I'm watching him play, and I just can't take the disinterest anymore from him, especially in that game where they really needed him. Needed him in the first half. He doesn't take a shot, I don't think, until the second quarter. I don't know what to make of the guy, but I'm not pleased and I'm not satisfied. And now I'm a little less inclined to believe in this future where all these guys are going to be back playing well together. The guy looks to me like he doesn't want to be here, or he doesn't know how to play here, or I don't know. Anthony made a really good analogy in the last show where he said that he's playing so he doesn't get blamed for anything. And if you're playing that well and you don't want to get blamed for anything, you're not playing aggressively enough for you to make a contribution to what you'd be supposed to be doing on the floor and helping the Sixers win. So I am officially wary now of Jimmy Butler, and I wasn't that way before, but now it happened again against the Pacers, and I'm wary. Tyrone, your thoughts?
I'm not worried yet.
Not worried?
Nope, I'm worried come the playoffs. Well, I do think he's trying to just get along with everybody for now. I do. I'm troubled by one part, though. Embiid was gone for 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
He and the person who stepped up the most, because Tobias is very consistent. He's the same every game. And it's actually great and refreshing. Ben Simmons stepped up and was more aggressive during that time, but not Butler. That bothered me. Then Embiid comes back. He gets in foul trouble early. One call was the worst call I'd ever seen in my life because he literally moved out of the way and they called a foul. But that's whatever.
The guy did a little toe tap around him.
Yeah. they called a foul. And the makeup call didn't work because it took Embiid out of the game. But anyway. Right. And he wasn't aggressive then. That's odd. But I don't know who to blame yet. I don't know if it's his fault or the coach yet. Come the playoffs, I'm blaming the player. Because he has to be more assertive in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He's the oldest guy in that main core.
Right.
He's been in the playoffs more than that main core.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for him to step up. So I'm going to, you're on an alert. I'm at like a warning. Whatever's lower, whatever one's lower, that's what I'm at. I'm watching it, but I'm not as bothered as you are.
See, here's my theory on Jimmy Butler. Excuse me. Jimmy Butler was a team player when he first came in. The way he's playing now, it's the way he started his NBA career, blending in with people. Then he became a star player. And that changed his whole mindset. Because now he's not really the star player. I believe that Jimmy Butler has to be the star player on the team. No matter how good or bad that team is, his main motivation is to be the star player. He has to be the focus. I think that has how his career has evolved. And so that's where he's dissatisfied. He is not the star player on this team. He is not the alpha. And he doesn't know how to handle that. And he's not happy handling that.
That's troublesome because just like you said with Nick Williams, we talked about that on Friday, and he's a better player than Nick Williams, don't get me wrong, but you said Nick Williams has to look at it and say, I'm not Bryce Harper, I can't be mad.
Right.
He should be able to look at this roster and say, I'm not Embiid because he's not as good.
Uh-huh.
I'm not Ben Simmons. He should be able to see that. If he can't, then I can't blame anybody but him for that.
Yes.
Because he can't be the number one option on this team because he's not the best player. Embiid is so far and away the best player right now, and Ben Simmons is on the come. Like, eventually he may surpass Embiid as the best player. If Butler can't see that, then Butler has a problem, and then the Sixers have a problem.
All right, well, listen, they want a very important game. So, like, this is not the main issue right now. But I've been watching this thing go along here, and I'm going, why doesn't he engage? Why doesn't he engage? Why doesn't he engage? And then he semi-engages in the fourth quarter, and then everybody forgets about it. I'm wary of the guy. I don't know what's going through the guy's head. He just doesn't seem to really appreciate the circumstances that he's involved in today. And he may be better off just being the star player on a mediocre or bad team, and that's what makes him happy. But no Brett Brown criticism today, right? Well, somebody will find a way to criticize him. But a big win over the Hickory. What were they called? The Hickory what?
In
Hoosiers, what was their nickname? Oh, you didn't like Hoosiers.
Hey, Hoosiers.
Yeah, you didn't like Hoosiers. The Hickory Huskies, sir. Wasn't the Huskers? Andrew Satchun, so was it?
I'm looking it up right now for you.
You're looking it up? You don't know it off the top of your head?
Neither do you.
Well, I think it's the Hickory Huskers.
I'm surprised Dan Roach hasn't already texted me.
He
knows right away.
Hickory Hoosiers.
From Hoosiers.
Called the Hoosiers?
No, people from Indiana are Hoosiers. Not the team mascot. The Hickory Huskers, I think it was. I don't know.
We'll go with that.
We'll get you an answer.
All right. Also, the last thing, the Eagles now. Apparently, Deshaun Jackson will be an Eagle. Right. Well, you can't really say that, but there's interest on both sides. He's already told Tampa Bay that he's not returning to Tampa Bay. So there's mutual interest. I think the Eagles may go out and grab him. So you're talking about what they've done so far, which they can't announce, is they get Jason Peters for one more year at a reduced rate, and they sign DeSean Jackson. They get Malik Jackson. What else did they do? I think that's it, right? Oh, yeah. Resigned Brandon Graham. So they've done all this stuff.
And traded Bennett.
And traded Bennett. And so it looks like they're in the same mindset as they were before, and they're looking good for this coming season. DeSean Jackson gives them the perfect complement of what they have on the other side. And he can still play a little bit. And now I guess the last thing is Aguilar. Well, they decide on Aguilar. What's going to happen with him?
Yeah, I just can't imagine paying him $9 million. So either he signs an extension to lower that cap number.
Yes.
Or they can technically trade him because there's no dead money. Mm-hmm. But either way, it's either sign for less money or you're going one way or the other because you can't have three. $9 million is too much to pay Aguilar.
All right,
and
so
I don't hate him.
We're going in three directions here. Three teams percolating. The Flyers are going to be without Jake Voracek. And my grocery store cashier, as I was coming here, I stopped at the grocery store.
Yeah, get a little sandwich.
Grocery store cashier had a lot to say about that to me.
I thought it was BS.
And he didn't know who I was.
Oh, he just was.
Randomly ran it on hockey to a paying customer.
Wow.
On how the league is against the Flyers.
Well, I don't.
Random. Think. Oh, it came out of nowhere.
Well, you're the wrong one.
Check it out. Looking at the number for my baby bok choy, and all of a sudden he started talking about hockey to me. Had no idea who I was.
They were the Hickory Huskers.
Huskers, that's what I said. Huskers.
Dan had it.
The Hickory
Dan
Huskers. Always has it. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's 2:20. It is the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Hello to the people watching on television today. It's time to tell us who we're brought to by in this 2 o'clock hour. Of course, it's always Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention to HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. All right, it's time for the Twitter poll. Andrew South tuned in today for Natalie, who stayed in Florida to hang out a little vacation time for Natster. Andrew, what's today's Twitter poll? It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention, all landscapers looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details.
The question today, which team is most on your mind today with the NFL tampering period beginning today? 69% say the Eagles, 15% say the Phillies, and 16% say the Sixers.
Oh, interesting. Give me those numbers again.
69% the Eagles running away with it, 16% Sixers, 15% Phillies.
Phillies only 15%, huh? Well, you know, it's the calm before the storm for the Phillies. You know, we got the Bryce Harper fanfare out of the way. That was Saturday. It was monstrous. Standing ovation. They stood. I thought they were going to stand for his whole at-bat. They stood for part of his first at-bat and watched him. So he's had four plate appearances. He's had two walks. He struck out looking in the first inning today against Snell. It threw him a 96-mile-an-hour fastball in the inside corner. Right, again, handcuffed him. And then he just walked. Again, 3-2 count walk. They're pitching to this guy. First of all, you can tell his timing's off. His foul balls, he's late. He's been late on all his foul balls. So his timing is not quite there yet. But they're pitching him like, I mean, come on. You'll challenge the guy here? Phillies got back-to-back home runs, and then he pitched around Harper. And they're getting shelled because Velasquez got shelled in the first.
Hey, he's got a .750 on base percentage, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
Come on now.
We're going to hit him to double play afterwards. So he's got one more at-bat. I thought he was only going to get two today. They're keeping him in the game in right field for three at-bats today. So we'll give you the report on his third at-bat. So far, walk, upside down K walk. All right, let's go to the phones. Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my first
call,
man.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. So, yeah, I wanted to first mention, what do you think about Bryce Harper and him coming out to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song?
Yeah, I don't know. That was the Phillies' idea. And I guess thought that was a good idea. We wanted a song that had some pep in it. So I guess that worked for them. He said after the game that he's not sure he'll go with that for the season.
Yeah, I hope not, man. He needs something more rocking, I think, to come
yeah,
out
yeah,
there.
I think so.
All right. So about my Sixers talk, you know, I thought that, you know, the last two games, you know, obviously the game to Chicago was a major buzzkill.
Mm-hmm.
We should have had that game. And then the Houston game, I kind of thought that was what it was going to be, you know, that we weren't going to, you know, win that game without mm-hmm. Joel. But, you know, having him back yesterday, it was kind of a weird situation seeing the Sixers come off to such a slow start where we're used to them coming off
They did not look good in the first half in that game. Bogdanovich was going around everybody in that first half, quarter and second quarter.
Yeah, but they finished it off strong.
They did.
You know, unusual for them, you know, in that third, fourth quarter. And I really think that one of the, you know, and I'm concerned about Butler just like you are, Mike, but I think that one of the stars of that game, even though I don't think he had any points, was Amir Johnson. I think he played a really good game defensively.
He has played very well. And didn't he play in a G League game? Was it the day before? Two days before. Amir's
giving him a lot of credit.
Yeah, he's giving him some minutes. He didn't score around the basket. He had a couple of chances to score around the basket. He didn't score, but he's giving him good minutes. He's going ahead of Jonah Baldwin, it looks like.
No, I think, I mean, like I said, I thought he was one of the top reasons we know we held them to those, you know, few points in those end of the game.
Yeah, the Pacers wore down. You could tell they wore down. And their schedule from this moment on is killer. So forget about them recouping the third spot. The Sixers are going to be in that third spot. You can put that in stone right now.
Yeah, we got to keep that third spot, Mike.
Yeah, there's no question they're going to keep it. They can't go below, well, they could. I guess Boston could rise up.
The Boston's only a game back.
Yeah.
So Boston could.
But the Pacers are out of that. You forget about the Pacers. They're done.
Cooked.
Yeah, they are. They're cooked. All right. The TJ in Franklinville. TJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, TJ?
How you doing, Mike?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Actually, I didn't get a chance to watch the game last night, but as far as you're concerned, there have been fans with Jimmy Butler throughout
the game. That's a violation.
You didn't watch the game. What?
No, I was actually coming in there from out of town, so I was driving.
Okay.
That's why.
Yeah, DVR? Anything like that in your future?
I 100% agree with you, but I don't think Jimmy Butler realizes that, and he's a hell of a player, but I don't think he realizes that in order for him to be a champion, he's not going to be the number one option. I don't know. And I believe it.
He's playing that up too much that he's not the number one option. He's making himself the number five option. I don't understand why he's not more active.
I don't get it.
I don't. It's really bugging me now. Maybe in the playoffs he transforms. I don't know, but it's like, you know, he doesn't want to. Either he doesn't like it here, or he's so conscious of offending other people for being selfish that I don't know which one it is right now. I would love to be playing for this team. If I was Jimmy Butler, my God, you got a chance to win something. Engage.
It's strange. It is strange.
All right. You got it, man. I know, dude. You got to be a couple times defensively in the first half, too.
He stepped up big in the fourth quarter, had a good block, but yeah, early.
He waits for the fourth quarter. I'm tired of it. I mean, alpha yourself early.
It's really strange. It is really strange, and I don't know who to blame. The way you laid it out, though, it seems like it's him and not Brett. If your theory, and I know we don't know for sure, if your theory is correct. What in his... does he think he should be the number one option on this team? He can't think that, can he?
I'm going to blame Brett, too. All right? Because Brett has to see that he's like a T.O. Remember how he had to get T.O. the ball early to not get him sold? Any kind of diva player. You get him engaged early. You cater to their whim. You play along with a wink. They don't know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You get him involved early. You get him engaged. I believe that's on Brett.
So
you got to iso him. You got to pick and roll. You got to do something with him early to get him engaged. Work him
offensively hard in the first quarter.
Right. Well, now you can do that. With Embiid back, and he's having a rest day against Cleveland. So Friday against the Kings, first set play of the game, Embiid comes and you work a pick and roll with Butler to start
exactly.
the game off. You can do that.
Yes.
Now, and then you get engaged because Embiid's a real threat.
And then post him. Play two. Post him.
Have Embiid up at the three-point line and throw it down
post
to Butler.
Post to Jimmy Butler.
You can do that early. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Get him involved.
A lot of those plays go to JJ now anyway, so just go to Butler.
Yeah, and JJ's, I don't know about JJ.
Still not looking good.
He's just the age, I think. He might need a maintenance day. 610-632-0975. A couple lines are open. Let's go, Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kevin? How you doing?
All right, man. I'm going to talk about Jimmy Butler. It's like everybody else, I guess. There was a play against OKC where he was under the basket, and he kicked it out to Jonah Bolden. Oh, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. He had a layup, and he kicked it out to Jonah Bolden?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this guy, he act like he don't want to play on his team anymore or something. He talked about he just want to win. Well, that's not winning when you were right under the basket and got a chance for a layup.
I don't know what's going on with it, man. Possible that he just doesn't want to be blamed for it. He got such the rep that was a heavy weight that was on his shoulders when he came to Philly, right? The bad rep. Bad teammate, he's this, he's that. So maybe he's going overboard to prove that he's not be selfish. I'm not going to get in anybody's way. I'm not going to take over, blah, blah, blah. But he's got to realize that him taking over will help his team win and screw what everybody else is going to think.
Right. I just hope that he doesn't do this in the playoffs, Mike. I
agree with you. He's starting to worry me now. I wasn't worried until this the Indiana Pacers game, and I saw the same thing when Indiana was running all through the Sixers, and they had a 10-point lead. I'm going, come on, this team, 10-point lead, Jimmy, engage, do something.
Right.
And he didn't do it, so now I'm officially worried.
Yeah, me too, Mike.
All right, man.
All right, Mike.
All right, you got
Thanks,
it.
Mike.
All right. Tyron, after the next break, I want to play what Matt Klentak said about the 3-4-5. Because you got to stop the bleeding right now. Because I've had it. you know I've had it, right?
Yes.
You spent a couple days with me in Florida. You've heard enough of me bitching about their 3-4-5 and their attitude about 3-4-5.
Yeah, I'm going to get that ready. That was Pat Egan went and grabbed that on.
Okay, so just to update you, what I'm saying, none of them can pitch. All right, so they're trying to get milk from a stone here with these guys. Today, Velasquez gets hammered, and Eichhoff just gave up a bomb, and so now there's two down. You need to go through two more. Oh, that's right. Pavetta's the golden arm. You got Pavetta and Eflin. Don't worry about it. You
gotta watch that Pavetta. What do you call him? You don't call him Pavetta.
Pavagina.
There you go.
Let's go to Dan in Sunbury. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Dan?
Hey, I just want to quick make an announcement to the rest of the Sixers Nation here.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Brown is not a problem. He's a good coach. It seems like the players like to play for him. And everything.
Where do you see what the players like to play for?
I'm just saying it seems like he has a good connection with everybody on the team.
How do you determine
really
that?
Has a problem other than Jimmy Butler.
I don't know how you determine it. What's the evidence of that?
The press conferences. You see him joking around with some of the players when he's doing his press conference, waiting for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
But I do pick and roll.
All right, but before we get into that, does that really matter whether they like him or not?
I think if you have a coach that you like to play for, I think you're going to play harder.
Yeah, I disagree. But go ahead. Go to your second point.
Because
I like a coach, I can jake it. If the coach likes me, I can jake it. I can get away with stuff. If the coach is got an evil eye on me and wants to push me, then I can't jake it. So this coaching that I like my coach and they like play, that's a bunch of BS. Because all the hard-ass coaches seem to get the most out of their players.
Touche. I guess I agree with that.
All right, go ahead with your second point.
Yeah, now, Jimmy Butler, he's much more successful when he's aggressive. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Tyrone. You start him out in the game with some pick and rolls since Embiid's back. And
yeah, that was my idea, not
Tyrone's. Why not some DHOs
on,
like
man.
He does with Jim with J-Tech? You know?
You got to start it out early by getting him engaged. You got to get that's a coaching
absolutely.
Situation. Get him engaged. That's the T.O. principle. All
he
over
does
again.
Put the ball in his hand sometimes.
Exactly. Like, don't let him. You know, let him be complacent. Get him off early, and then he'll be engaged. All right. Thanks. We have the cut. I just want to play this for posterity's sake. It's not that it doesn't matter. This is Klentak. I asked the question with my eyebrow. You can't see because we weren't on TV that day. My one eyebrow was up when I asked the question. Meaning, I don't agree with anything that you think about with these 3, 4, 5 candidates. So I'm going to ask it anyway and see how you answer it. All right? So that's my eyebrow was up. All right? So go ahead.
For two reasons. Number one, the answer is yes, but for two reasons. Number one, because we really like those guys. And I think we are going to see a breakout from one or more of those guys this year. I know we have not addressed the rotation in terms of a change in personnel, but we've addressed the rotation in these ways. We've made the bullpen better, which is going to protect the leads better. We've made the defense better, which is going to allow the starters to, you know, hopefully pinch better. We've also improved the offense, which is going to give the starters a lot more margin for error. So that's the first reason. We are confident that our group is going to be better this year. But the second reason is because we need to do this. In order for the franchise and to support the type of payroll that we're now starting to have, fitting in a Bryce Harper and an Andrew McCutchen and a David Robertson and Gene Segura and an Aaron Nola extension and other things, we have to identify spots on the roster where we can incorporate young players who, you know, by virtue of their inexperience, don't make quite as much in order to properly balance our roster and allow us to grow. And these young starters we just talked about are certainly fit that mold, as do a lot of our young pitchers, both rotation and bullpen in AAA. That's something that's really important for the future of this franchise.
All right, that's fair. All right. He answered it fairly. The one thing that he's right about is his bullpen and his defense is better. But he really likes these guys, and one of them is going to have a breakout year. Now, I may be a dope, okay? But then he says, we have to do this. And you don't need to do it at all. You can go out and spend for another guy. You can buy Dallas Keuchel tomorrow. You don't need to do it. You have plenty of money to do other things. I understand your principle about you need to sustain the payroll. I get that. But if your 3, 4, 5 aren't any good, then guess what? You need to buy somebody. All right? That's where I disagree with the guy. Hawk in Northeast Philly. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Hawk.
What's going on, Mikey Miller?
What's up, Hawk?
Oh, man. A couple of the callers calling in because you're criticizing Jimmy Butler. I mean, it's killing me because one guy said that Jimmy possibly lost a step, and another guy said that he doesn't have any wiggle. I'm just going to start by saying that Jimmy Butler, to me, is a student of the game. Okay? He's not one of these guys that came out to ask to go to L.A. You know, he's not a diva, as people say. He drives a minivan. It's got like an Herbalife sticker on it, okay? Jimmy Butler, the problem, and you hit it on the head when you said that Brett Brown, the guys like Brett Brown too much, it's the continuity. And I'm not trying to get into a basketball argument, but if you're criticizing, if anyone has a criticism of Jimmy Butler, it's basketball ignorant, okay? Because the problem with Brett Brown's offense is that he's not getting his players, the point guards aren't getting into basketball sequences quick enough. The point guards, we just look at them, they're running up the floor, they don't know what they're looking for. Is it, okay, you're running up the floor, but are you looking for a post-up? Are you looking for a pick and roll? Is it ISO? I get having to get into the offense so that way the defense has to defend 3 sets instead of, say, 1 or 2, so they defend the whole 24-second shot clock. Now, if Jimmy Butler can actually get into this offense where if it's not a post-up, it goes right into another sequence, another action, he's going to play. He doesn't want to be the first option. He doesn't want to be the second option. He just wants to play basketball. The guy understands. Like, one guy called him stiff.
He gets straight to the point. Jimmy Butler doesn't need a bunch of dribbles to get you a bucket. He can go straight off the dribble, two, three dribbles, boom. He's going to score it.
Listen, I get exactly what you're saying. But he can't be that guy. He's got to be more than that guy you described who's just the team player. He's got to be an alpha on this team. He can't be disengaged for several quarters.
Absolutely, but now if are we keeping tabs? Ben Simmons is not Ben Simmons.
We talk about Ben Simmons all the time. I don't want to talk about Ben Simmons anymore. All right, we know Ben Simmons has flaws. I'm watching Ben Simmons. He just doesn't. He'll get it eventually. He doesn't have a 100% point guard mindset. He doesn't. There are times that I watch him. I'm ready to pull my ears off when he does this. He gets caught in the air, and then his bailout pass is low to T.J. McConnell. Now, what is T.J. McConnell going to do with the ball down there? A good point guard has a filter. You go, no, it's T.J., I can't go there, I got to go over here. You can't get the ball to T.J. McConnell in those kind of spots. You know what I'm talking about, Tyrone? Yeah. T.J.'s running around like a crazy man because that's what he does. First of all, he should never be in that spot. But since he's always in constant motion, there are times when he's going to be in a spot, and it looks like he's open down low. But you can't get the ball to him down low.
No, and they shouldn't play together, but that's the whole. They should never play. They should play 0 minutes together. I've said that before. It doesn't make sense. Yes, you're
that's
right about that.
That's a timeout. Well, what's he going to, Ben, what's he going to do with it there? Tell him, what's your answer? What's he going to do with it there? Then why even get your brain to go there? Smarten up.
No, you're right. You got to know your personnel. He did only have one turnover yesterday, though. He played better. I know what you're talking about. That happens. And the other thing that's bothering about TJ again, because TJ's minutes have gone back up out of necessity.
Yeah.
He keeps turning down corner threes. He has to stop doing that.
TJ?
Yes. He's wide open in the corner. He has to shoot it. Same rule applies. If you're a guard in the NBA in 2019 and you have a corner three that's open, by rule, you must take it.
He can't shoot it.
He has to shoot it anyway.
No, he can't.
What he ends up doing is he dribbles his way into either a turnover.
He does.
Or he dribbles it to where they end up throwing it to Amir in the other corner. Now Amir Johnson's shooting a corner three.
It takes every ounce of strength he has to hoist the ball from a three-point shot. He's not going to do that. It's like Ben Simmons. I can't shoot that shot, so I won't.
Ben Simmons has a phobia. He has to shoot it.
It's astounding to me that a kid like that can't shoot the ball from that kind of distance. It's astounding, but he can't. I don't want to see him shoot that.
He has to shoot it, though. It's wide open. He has to shoot it.
That's a good play about the Sixers. They had a big win yesterday, right? We're just trying to fine-tune the whole situation here and make them perfect. And I guess they're not going to be perfect, but and I'm just, there were some things of frustration when I was watching the game yesterday, and Butler was the most. And then, like, getting the ball to TJ down low, I go, what is he supposed to do with it there? Is he going to rise above, change hands in the air, and score? Like, what? Come on, man.
And Malik Jackson.
Seriously.
You're right. And so far, the show, the callers aren't showing any love to Malik Jackson.
No, the Eagles did some substantial things today.
No more.
Yeah, Malik Jackson, they signed Jason Peters. A lot of people didn't like that Jason Peters thing. Yeah, one more year. Come on, man.
It felt like no money.
But you still got Vitae there if you want him in there.
And my guy.
He's still there. If Peters gets hurt, you still got your guy that you wanted to be the starter anyway.
And my guy's
And your
now,
guy, Jordan Mulata, is not ready yet.
He'll be ready this year
to
be a backup. No, he's going to dress this year.
Third string.
He's going to dress. He's going to dress. He's going to get NFL snaps this season coming up. He's not going to start, but he's going to get some snaps this season. And then next season, the following year, he becomes a starting left tackle. A great find.
Tyrone was so unhappy Saturday that Nick Williams wasn't in the lineup that he got on an airplane and left Clearwater.
Can't believe. My guy walked by. He was not happy.
He had Lane Adams and Dylan Cousins in the starting lineup.
Well, that's Cousins' other guy. But when I saw him down there, he didn't look happy, my guy. My God,
I told you, we reported that he had what's called baseball, the red ass. And the red ass means that you're unhappy and you're squawking and doing that kind of thing. And so to reward the red ass, he got his butt on the pine in a game where there's no reason for him not to be in the lineup. If you go put Dylan Cousins and Lane Adams in the lineup, there's no reason not to put Nick Williams in the lineup, right? So let that be a lesson to you kids out there. All right? Don't get the red ass. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 2:46, Mike Missinelli Show. A lot of stuff happening, especially with the Eagles. They signed, they're going to get Malik Jackson. They may get DeSean Jackson, Jason Peters for a one-year contract, which is okay by me. I know he's not the same player, but you might as well have him start a game. And if he can't finish, you got two guys that can back him up. So I don't understand what the big deal is. And they got him at a favorable cap number. They're doing their magical cap work. I give Howie Roseman some credit. Now, he paid a lot for Malik Jackson. He's like the third highest paid defensive tackle in the league now. Going rate, though.
What you gonna do?
Star play.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
All right, so they've got a great starting defensive line. Now let's see what the rotation yields.
That's where you got to draft.
Back up the end. Do they have one right now? Are they going to re-sign Chris Long for one more year?
Actually, he's under contract. The question is, does he want to keep playing? Which is not a given, but my guess is he'll come back.
Okay.
And so there's one guy, and you're going to have to draft some guys. They haven't drafted very well. Anthony talked about it on the last show. They have free agents have done really, really well with free agents. Mm-hmm. They haven't drafted well enough. They have to hit on a couple of guys to start building it up. Plus, it's getting close to time to pay the quarterback. They got to start hitting on these draft picks.
Yep. Now, Dan Roach, Booney, our producer at NBC Sports Philadelphia, sent me a tidbit. Before the show, a graphic on, well, it was actually a Twitter shot. Receptions of 25 yards or more last season. DeSean Jackson, 8. Nelson Aguilar, 8. But what's the qualifier for that, Tyrone?
How many games that they did them in?
DeSean only played 12, right?
Right, to his 16.
To Nelson's 16.
Right, now.
Come on, Booney.
Yeah, now looking at it, in the last 2 years, he put up another one. Because Booney, I think, is a big Aguilar guy.
Apparently he is.
Now, Aguilar hasn't missed a game, and DeSean has missed 6 in the last 2 years. So Aguilar has 60 more yards and 5 more touchdowns.
Yeah.
But in yards per reception, Aguilar is at 11.9, DeSean Jackson 15.8.
No, that's a big difference. Maybe he'll be healthier if he plays the team that he wants to be with. Get what I'm saying?
That's part of it, I think, some of that. Okay. I think if he's playing, and he's an outside receiver versus Aguilar being a slot receiver, and you're going to see more double tight end, because why'd you draft Dallas Goedert if you're not going to play him? So that's the other part. I would imagine that whoever the slot receiver, they're going to lose some reps to Goedert. So, and DeSean is an outside receiver. So, but I think Booney's a big...
He is.
The first time where Booney, he's been impeccable the entire time, almost a full year. This one, I don't know.
All right. So, Sonny, I was telling you a little earlier about this supermarket cashier guy.
Yeah.
And so I get my... I had to buy a couple... I get some veggies and a couple things, like in the 25 or less lane. So I'm in there, and he looks up, and he's got checking me. I goes, you follow hockey at all? And I said, he goes, what they did to the Flyers is disgraceful. I said, yeah? He goes, yeah. There's no way that Voracek should have got 2 games for that. I said, well, you know, it looked like he kind of threw his shoulder into it. He goes, nah, it just proves one thing. The league doesn't want the Flyers to make the playoffs.
What?
And I go, I don't want to engage. I just want to get out of there. I want to buy my broccoli and get out. You know what I'm saying? So he went and engaged me, and he had no idea who I was. I swear to God, he had no idea who I was. And he wasn't talking to me as Mike Missinelli talk show host. He was just talking as a guy. And it was on his mind.
Well, I will say, I think the suspension's BS. I thought the penalty was BS because the guy's coming to hit him. I think he was more defending himself and his shoulder, not His shoulder got a little high, but I don't think it's some...
His shoulder in his head.
Well, the guy's coming to hit him. What are you supposed to do, just take the hit?
Can't go to the head.
He didn't really go to the head maliciously.
To the head.
They watched that on tape, and then they come back with a two-game suspension. Now, I think it's more another example of officiating incompetence.
No, I think...
I do not think...
I think the league is has always been, they're against the Flyers. Damn it.
I've heard that since I was a little kid.
It's exactly true. That's kind of Woody in Atlantic. Atlantic what? Woody in Atlantic City. Woody, you're on 97.5.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Woody?
Hey, man, what's up, man? How you been?
What are you doing?
How was California?
We were in Florida, not California.
You're in Florida? You're in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, you know what? I have been listening to you about this Jimmy Butler thing, and I'm trying to get on board, too. What's up with this guy?
Well, I don't know. He just seems disengaged. I don't get it.
You know, I don't need
it. Yesterday, it was on national TV. I'm going, all right, let's go. Hey, we go. They need this game.
Exactly.
It was passive, and then they were struggling in the first half. And I'm yelling and screaming, get him, do something with the, get ISO him, do something, get him off.
Mm-hmm. So listen, Jalen Rose seemed to think the same thing.
He did?
He don't seem to think that he's going to be there next year, because I thought that he was going to be like the main option to extend him.
I thought so, too. I thought they were going to be able to keep this team together.
Keep the whole team together, right?
Right. Now, it's two things, Woody. Either he doesn't like playing here, and he wants to be the number one on some team, whether they're good or not.
Exactly.
Or he's just trying so hard not to offend anybody, to come off as selfish. It's one of those two. But if it's the first thing, then, man, I'm really disappointed, because I thought they were going to be able to put something together here.
I'm very disappointed, because I do not think they should have gone 4-4 with Embiid out of the lineup with that team.
Well, I agree.
I think they should at least have been 6.
Yeah,
you
can't lose to Chicago. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
And they almost lost to Atlanta. Atlanta beat them too, didn't they?
No, it wasn't Atlanta.
Somebody bad beat them. But look, I'm trying to get with Tyrone on this, because maybe in the playoffs he might show up, but I don't know. This guy drives me crazy.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Woody. He's—I don't know what it is. I wish I could pinpoint it. All you have is theories. Then, you know, he says he's doing what they're asking him to do, but you got to do more than what they're asking you to do. Like, I don't understand what that means. You're doing what they ask you to do. You got to engage. Alex Frankfurt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Alex.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
What's going on, Alex? How you doing?
All right. Hello to Tyrone and Andrew. Mm-hmm. I just really had a question, right? Mm-hmm. And you were talking about Jimmy Butler, and Tyrone was talking about how he wasn't really engaged, right? I don't know. This may be kind of a left field thinking thing. Me personally, if I was the coach and I seen that he was not performing to his capabilities, I would just do an old-fashioned sit-down, pull in the office, like, look, what's going on? What's happening? Or is that like, too left field?
I would have that talk. If I was Brett Brown, I'd say, listen, man, I need to be more selfish. And he's going to go, well, then call some plays for me. I don't think that either one of them wants to get involved. But if I'm the coach, I got to get more out of him somehow. But the way to do it, you can trick him. You can go to him early and get him engaged early. This is like, you know, the football mentality. You get the diva wide receiver the ball early, he won't quit on you.
Right. I mean, I was listening to what you were saying, like tricking him. But me personally, like when my dad wanted something for me to do something, look, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. You know, you're expected to do this and that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. If you call yourself a team player, get your Sierra Hotel Indian Tango together.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
what I'm talking about.
All right, I hear you. Our last caller may have been thinking about the Sixers game where they almost lost to New Orleans. Maybe he was talking about that game.
The Pelicans.
In that streak to the Pels.
Yeah.
They won a game by a point. They survived.
Yeah, Anthony Davis had like 20 points in 21 points in 20 minutes in that game.
But they beat Oklahoma City, and when I believe their losses were to Golden State and Houston, other than the one in Chicago. So it wasn't like they lost a bad team.
And the Warriors game was a really close game.
Right. 610-632-0975. One line is open right now as we roll into the 3 o'clock hour. We're talking to James Palmer, the NFL Network, about what the Eagles are doing in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, we're going to tell you about our Fanatic knockout game, which is upcoming in a little bit right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.